Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
How do you define Hall of Famer? That's a question that you'll probably chew over, toss around, debate with your friends, maybe on social media. Maybe you want to answer the question here with us. How do you define Hall of Famer? Is it among the best at your particular position? Is it bling? You have to have hardware, whether it be individual or team accomplishments, capped by rings and trophies. Is it a certain level of dominance? Is it the eye test? How do you define Hall of Famer? And how do you know a Hall of Famer when you see him or her? It's a question that will be asked about Philip Rivers, the same as it was about Eli Manning. Now, I believe firmly, you won't be able to change my mind, that both Manning and Philip Rivers are Hall of Famers. I don't know about first ballot, though I'd probably not be surprised if either one was a first ballot Hall of Famer, Eli Manning for sure. But Philip Rivers, when you measure his numbers, his longevity, his toughness, his accomplishments, and you match them up against his own peers, as well as those who played the two generations before him, when you're at the top five in the two most important categories at your position, I don't know how you keep that guy out of the Hall of Fame. But there are more ways to define Hall of Famer, and so I'm interested to hear what you have to say. As Philip Rivers announces his retirement, and he does it first with an exclusive report in San Diego. Of course, he played most of his career in San Diego. He will continue coaching high school football because that is his love. He's not interested, at least at this point, in coaching in college or the NFL or being in the spotlight. Nah. He wants to coach high school football, which I think is cool. I love his heart. He has been a great ambassador for the NFL. But even as I read about his retirement on Wednesday morning as I was getting to bed, I thought, man, this could be the offseason in which we lose Drew Brees, Philip Rivers, potentially Ben Roethlisberger, though we don't have any indication of that yet. But we're seeing this generation of quarterbacks, some of the greatest of all time, start to hang it up. And this group is getting thinner and thinner, and I will definitely miss them. It was kind of interesting to hear Brett Favre and Kurt Warner weigh in on Philip Rivers. And it wasn't that long ago those two guys were roaming the field and were putting up huge numbers. I'd love to hear from you. How do you define a Hall of Famer in football, in basketball, in hockey, whatever it is? What are your qualifications? And then we'll apply them to Philip Rivers. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for tuning into the show. We've got some good stuff planned for you tonight. First of all, it was the perfect time for Kyrie Irving to return. Not only was he getting on the court for the first time since January 5th, after missing 7 games and losing a lot of money, by the way, not only was he fined by the NBA for violating protocols, but he also lost, if I remember correctly, close to $1 million, $800,000 roughly, for the two games he missed while he was in quarantine, the quarantine that he brought on himself by going AWOL. So he returns for a game in Cleveland. The site, of course, well, not the site, but his home as an NBA player when he won a ring with the Cavaliers. The game was actually in the Bay Area. If you remember, Game 7 was on the road, and Kyrie hit the only bucket of the last 2.5 minutes of Game 7, which is why he would tell you that he is the right guy, the best option for the last shot of any team he's ever played for. And so Kyrie rejoins the Nets, and the Brooklyn Big Three is born. But they didn't win. It's not because of the offense. We knew that that would not be the case. There'll be times when the offense looks different when you don't have Harden going for a triple-double, Kyrie and KD combining for 75. There will be nights when the offense doesn't flow quite as easily. There better be nights when the defense is a little stouter than it was tonight. So we'll talk about the debut, quote-unquote, of this Brooklyn Big Three. And wait until you hear Kevin Durant wax poetic about how perfect it is that they're all together now. Oh, it's a drop that we're going to use for a million different things. I can just feel it. So that's from the NBA world. We've got everything from Andy Reid's update on Patrick Mahomes, who did practice on Wednesday, to Bruce Arians issuing a public warning to his Buccaneers about what will happen to their asses if they look past the NFC Championship game to a potential Super Bowl in Tampa. Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen. So the only starting quarterback that we won't hear from tonight is Patrick Mahomes. Right now, he still has to clear multiple days of concussion protocols, but he is on track. He's not allowed to speak to the media, is my understanding. So unless you've seen Patrick Mahomes speaking to the media, but I don't believe they're allowed to speak to the media when they're in concussion protocol. I really appreciate all of your responses to our Sarah Thomas interview that we did a few years ago, even before she had ever officiated her first playoff game. Now she's done four, and she's headed to Super Bowl 55 as a great honor and a prize. It's certainly an acknowledgement of how far she's come as what is now a down judge in the NFL. At some point, it may be a different position on the field. But so many of you weighed in on Facebook, and I would say 90% of the comments are positive. Some of you were pigs, per the usual, but 90% of it was very positive. And so I'm glad that you had a chance to go back and listen to the interview. I recognize that most of you probably didn't, but a few of you did and actually commented on the interview, which is cool. And we also put it out there on our Facebook page, After Hours CBS. One other little promo we'll do, and then we'll dive into the Brooklyn Big Three versus the Cleveland Cavaliers. Sal Capaccio will join us from Buffalo next hour. This will be fun because Sal not only is lively and is well-known in football circles, but he has a talk show on our Buffalo affiliate, WGR, and is on the sidelines for Buffalo Bills games. Now, this year it's only home games, but he was there for Taron Johnson's 101-yard pick six, the touchdown that you overwhelmingly selected as TD of the week, a piece of NFL history. What a monumental occasion it was for the Bills. And so he was there watching it unfold. We'll ask him what that was like. And I think this is kind of ironic that both of the AFC and NFC championship games, both the championship games this weekend, are rematches of week six. It doesn't mean we're going to get the same game or the same tempo or the same flow, but we'll talk about what's changed for the Bills and for the Chiefs since their week six matchup, in which Kansas City rushed for 250 yards, if I remember correctly, something along the lines of 250. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was motoring everybody down. And so I'm excited to talk to Sal. He brings a lot of energy, a lot of enthusiasm, and he will join us next hour to talk Chiefs and Bills and Buffalo's past colliding with its present. Certainly Josh Allen. We'll get to a lot of that with Sal. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. How would you define Hall of Famer? If you want to keep it specific to football, great. But how would you define the eligibility, the requirements to make a Hall of Fame in any respective sport? Is Philip Rivers a Hall of Famer in your opinion? And where should the Colts look for their next QB? You got any ideas? It's a piece of the QB carousel, this offseason puzzle that probably has 5,000 pieces. Those are probably a little more complicated than we have time for on one show. I did a 2,000-piece puzzle in the spring when everything was shut down and I couldn't really go anywhere. It was great. I looked forward to it so much. I really only worked on it Saturdays and Sundays, but it took about 5 weeks to put a 2,000-piece puzzle together. It was hard. It was a greenhouse with all kinds of flowers and fun elements to it. My Grammy mostly sticks to 500 pieces or fewer, but once I've done a 1,000-piece puzzle with her, that was cool. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. With every score change during Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. I've already mentioned our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and our Twitter, either After Hours CBS for the show Twitter, or you can find me at A-Law Radio. There's a lot to get to. Something tells me I'm not going to get to everything, but that's okay because we still have another show before the end of the week. Kyrie Irving resurfaces yesterday. He tells us, kind of, the reasons why he was not interested in playing over the last 7 games, why he needed a mental health break, how he got the support of his teammates. He had family issues. He issued a call for help. All of those things. You can read into them if you must. But once he pays his fines and forfeits the money from the missed games, he's back to playing. And he's got a smile on his face. And I'm certain that the trade for James Harden has a lot to do with it. These three look like, not only are they in the honeymoon phase, but that they believe this is the right formula to win a title. Of course, it's going to be a game at a time. It's going to be a process. Why? Because they've not played together ever, all three of them. Outside of maybe USA basketball, but that's not the same thing. And because there's not much practice time. These guys are not getting the time on the court because of COVID protocols, because of the way so much of the business is done virtually, because they're in the middle of a season. Very rarely do NBA teams have 2 consecutive days of practices between travel and games. Time off for guys not wanting to overdo it. You don't see NBA teams practice much this time of the year. And so it's going to be hard for them to develop, not just in the offensive rhythm, though naturally they're all offense-first players, but how about a defensive rhythm and a defensive chemistry, which is so important? Maybe not in the regular season, but we saw exactly where these Nets are on Wednesday night because Kevin Durant has 38 points, Kyrie has 37 points, James Harden records a triple-double, and against Cleveland, who we're not labeling as a championship contender, against the Cavaliers, they lose in double overtime.
Sexton left side, contested three. Good! Good! Sexton hit it! Sexton hit the three! 1.2 to go! He hit it! Sexton hit it over Kyrie Irving! We're tied at 127! What a shot by Young Bull! Oh my! Sexton, 6 on the clock. Three ball. There's another one! Colin Sexton! absolutely sizzling from downtown. 139-131. Sexton steps back. Three. There's another one. Colin Sexton. An absolutely incredible display of long-range shooting. Cavs by 11. 142-131.
It was an impressive display for the Cleveland Cavaliers and their guard Colin Sexton. He finished with 15 points in the second overtime and really took over the game. Had more points than Kevin Durant or Kyrie Irving. 42 points, a career high for him. And it always feels good as a franchise when you beat a former teammate who wasn't happy there. The calls with Tim Alcorn on the Cavs radio network. The Cavaliers have turned over in droves. I don't know if there's anybody still left on that team from their championship runs, their NBA Finals run, and then their one ring, the historical series in which they came back from a 1-3 deficit against the Warriors. It's a completely different set of Cavs. I think they've hired seven coaches. Fired six, hired seven since the last time they were in the NBA Finals. But the reason why it matters is because there were plenty of points out there. The Nets had all kinds of offense. Offense for days. And yet the Cavaliers scored nearly 150. Yes, it was double overtime. But 150 points. Is that what the Nets are going to give up? Probably not in regulation, though it's possible. Kevin Durant played 50 minutes. Kyrie, 48 minutes. James Harden, 51. Jeff Green, who's no spring chicken, played 45 minutes. So not a whole lot off the bench. Joe Harris did come off the bench in this game, but how about this? 42 minutes, only 6 points. He had 9 rebounds in there, but he shot 2 of 10 from the floor. He's a streaky shooter, so that's not a huge surprise. But I do wonder, as a side note, how often he will not be in a rhythm because he's not taking a volume of shots. He's not taking the shots on a regular basis because there aren't enough shots to go around. Kyrie took 28 shots. Durant took 25 shots. Harden only took 14. I mean, there are nights when Harden takes 40 shots, let's be honest. So among those big three, there are times when one of them is going to have to subvert his offensive game. Harden ends up with a triple-double. But you wonder about the rest of the team. Again, Harris played 42 minutes and only took 10 shots. So it's going to be an adjustment. What should stand out to you is how well the Cavaliers shot the ball. The third period alone, it was open look after open look after open look. Uncontested shots. Where the Nets defensive rotation was trailing or was non-existent, or they were chasing, they were out of balance. And all that comes with practice and chemistry. The problem is they don't have either right now. It's easy to go out there and play backyard ball because that's what these guys do. They've played basketball their whole lives, but to pick up a defensive assignment, to talk, to communicate, to rotate, all that stuff requires practice and time. The Cavaliers shot 51% from the floor and 50% from beyond the arc. They were 20 of 40 from beyond the arc. Wowzers. So congratulations to Colin Sexton and Kyrie Irving's former team. Well, one of his former teams, the Cleveland Cavaliers.
It was one of those nights for him. You know, he gets an offensive board. They tie it. You know, they're down one now. KD hits two and then he hits a three. They tie it. It was just like one of those nights, you know, and being back in Cleveland, it was rightfully so one of those type of games, you know, like, hey, back and forth. So I look forward to playing them again Friday, and we'll see how we fare that game.
A bit of a home and home series for Brooklyn and Cleveland. But most importantly, at least for Nets fans, and I think for the majority of the NBA, what about the big three operating together? What did Kyrie, KD, James Harden have to say about their first game together as a core unit? I'm using big three in air quotations too, by the way. It's so cliche now. It doesn't have the same meaning anymore. But you'll hear from Kevin Durant. I mean, it's kind of like a love fest if you ask me. So, on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. How do you define Hall of Famer? Do you think Phillip Rivers is one? And we'll do a little more basketball coming up here as well. Just launching into our fourth show of the work week.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Harden one-on-one with Nance, down to eight to shoot. Low crossover, between the leg dribble. Gives in the corner to Harris on the catch, curls into the paint. Muscles his way inside, the leaner no good. The tip by Kyrie Irving, it goes in. Kyrie with 30, and the game is tied at 113. With a 107 to go here in the fourth. Durant out of the right wing, just inside the arc. He's got 30, up top Irving, also with 30. A three straight on it, it's good for Kyrie. And the Nets jump in front to start overtime. Tabs of the ball down three. Sexton up top with four to shoot. Driving it right down the lane. Scoops it off the window. No good. Rebound deflected ahead to Harden. Nets control. Harden on the run. Into the front court. Tilt the contact. Floats it back inside to Durant. Durant lays it up and in. 34 for KD. Nets a 120 to 115 lead with a minute 48 to go in overtime.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Just a sampling of what KD and Kyrie and James Harden can do together. And no, it was not a win, but I think you could see them on the court as an offense and recognize that there is a ton of potential there simply because these are three of the best offensive players in the NBA when Kyrie actually chooses to play. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The call's with Chris Carino on the Nets Radio Network. Again, this was the first game for Kyrie Irving since January 5th. And you may remember, I talked about this on last night's show, but if you haven't seen the photos, here's how I would describe Kyrie's initial comments after his first practice back with the team. He looked like Eeyore. He was morose. His arms were on the desk wherever he was doing his Zoom call. His head was propped up on his arms. He didn't smile. There was no energy. He just looked like he was feeling a general malaise, whether it's because he had to return, whether it's because he didn't want to answer questions. But you want to talk about low energy. The complete opposite of what we heard from him after this double overtime loss in Cleveland.
Man, always playing the game that I love, I'm grateful. So I never take it for granted. And then also to be, you know, playing with Kevin Durant, James Harden, you know, just those names alone right now, just like we're having some fun.
It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together. You know, it felt like, you know, this journey together is going to be fun. You know, it was a tough first start, and especially it was an up and down game for us. But, you know, I like where we are.
I can't wait till a man says that to me. It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belonged together. I'm going to hold out until one man says that to me. And I know he means it. Not
it
just
felt
as
right.
a gimmick.
It felt perfect. It felt like we belong together.
We belong together. All it took is one date. It was love at first sight. It felt right. It felt perfect. It felt like we belonged together.
Felt like we belong together.
Okay, you know what? KD is not much given to melodrama. He's really not a guy that uses a bunch of hyperbole. So when he says it, okay, it did feel right. Just not on the defensive end where the Cavaliers shot 51%.
We started off the game very, very, very good. Just the entire game, we just got to find a way to get stops when we need to. Offensively, they're not statistically, they're not a very good team, but they made some shots tonight. So we just got to watch some film get better and, you know, chip away.
Freaking statistically, they killed it tonight, actually. The Cavaliers shot 50% from beyond the arc. That's something that James Harden aspires to, I think, in most games. So they'll get a rematch against Cleveland, and I would agree. I'm not telling you that the Cavaliers are a contender, but if the Nets are a contender and they gave up 42 points, a career high, to Colin Sexton, you know there's work to do on the defensive end. What do I tell you all the time? No team starts the season ready to win a championship. There's always work to be done. It's just more challenging this year because there isn't as much practice time. Oh, does anyone want to hear from Steve Nash? Anyone? I mean, I feel like because he's the head coach in name, at least he's got the title of head coach. Maybe we should ask him what he thinks.
It's definitely early doors as far as this new team and this new group learning to defend together and how we can be effective defensively. You know, that's got to be one of the part of our game that we're going to focus on the most going forward.
What do you think it's like to be a two-time NBA MVP, one of the greatest offensive point guards in NBA history, and you're an afterthought? You're the head coach, and you're an afterthought. My apologies. I love Steve Nash. I really enjoyed watching him play. I actually feel sorry for him because I feel like he's going to get run in this particular situation. Because even before James Harden was part of the Nets, what did we hear from Kyrie and KD? I don't think they invited Steve Nash to that edition of the podcast. It was, I feel like any of us could coach on any given night. No, that's not actually how it works. Anyway, they definitely put up a lot of points. I'm not telling you isn't fun to watch, especially if you are a sports fan that's into offense, and many sports fans are these days. I like this tweet from D in Cleveland. Never seen a team, the Brooklyn Nets, that just got their butt kicked by the Cavaliers talk so confident in this press conference. Oh, get used to it. They're going to be talking confident all season long because to them, it was just the Cavaliers making a few shots. I think there's work to do offensively. Okay, I love hearing from you already. How should the Colts fill the opening at the most impactful position on the field? That's quarterback. Where do they go next? And how do you define Hall of Famer? Some great answers already on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. We'll talk a little bit about Phillip Rivers' career, and we'll hear Brett Favre, Kurt Warner, two Hall of Famers weigh in. Also, a guy who caught passes from him for years and years tells you why Rivers deserves to be not just a Hall of Famer, but a first ballot Hall of Famer. And his answer is a little different than what you might expect. So some Phillip Rivers chatter. He liked to chatter, but he never swore. Dadgummit.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
From Patriot territory now at the 43, Rivers changes the play. Takes the handoff to Gordon. Pressure coming. Steps up in the pocket. Has Keenan Allen wide open. Caught. Touchdown, Chargers. Rivers to Keenan Allen. 43 yards.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
How do you define Hall of Famer? He's a Hall of Fame trash talker, no doubt about that, and he managed to do it without swearing. If you ever need a laugh, find some of the comments, some of the remarks from his teammates about the trash talking of Phillip Rivers when he gets really fired up and yet never swears. And his favorite, of course, is dadgummit. I love that Phillip Rivers wore his heart and his emotions on his sleeve. He was absolutely a gunslinger. I used to call him a poor man's Brett Favre. Wasn't quite as good at Brett Favre. Sometimes his timing would be off in terms of slinging the football. But man, did he play with a passion and with a leadership and with an intensity. And he played and he played and he played and he played. One of the things that is a hallmark of Phillip Rivers' career now that he's announced his retirement. He started every single game for 252 consecutive opportunities, consecutive appearances over 15 years. Do you know he played his only AFC Championship game 13 years ago with a torn ACL? He had just torn his ACL, and he played anyway. An Iron Man. He personified toughness, and that's a great leadership quality. 252 straight starts. And who knows about that? Well, Brett Favre certainly does. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Favre does a radio show as part of his contract with Sirius XM NFL Radio. And the news broke on Wednesday morning that Phillip Rivers would be hanging it up. And the I think the ties between what Brett Favre did in his career and Phillip Rivers are interesting. But one thing that they really have in common is the fact that they were both Iron Men.
I've said this so many times when asked about this consecutive streak. There's two things that have to happen. There are times where you get hurt, you get banged up. You know, every guy in the league has that. So you have to learn to play with injuries. But you also have to play well enough that they keep you in the lineup week in and week out. You know, and that's the thing that gets overlooked. Being very durable is one thing, but being very good and consistent is certainly another. And he's been able to do both and do it at a high level.
After the 2018 season, Phillip Rivers and the Chargers nearly won the AFC West. Remember, they pushed the Chiefs to the very end of the regular season. And then it was those Chargers who went on the road in Baltimore and beat the Ravens in Lamar Jackson's first playoff start. Then they went to New England, where they lost to the Patriots. That's the touchdown that you heard, Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen. That is from their playoff loss to the Patriots in early 2019. But the last playoff game of Phillip Rivers' career came just a couple weeks ago in Orchard Park, New York. Yeah, they misfired on multiple pass attempts at the end of the game. But what a show we got from Phillip Rivers. 309 yards, two touchdowns, including a bullet to Jack Doyle in the middle of the fourth quarter that pulled the Colts within three. But on Wednesday morning, well, Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, the news broke. Rivers announced his plans to retire. After 17 years in the NFL, at 39 years old, he won't be your next 40-something quarterback. Eight-time Pro Bowler, who finished his career with 4,100 passing yards and 24 touchdowns this season for the Colts. And Frank Reich said, we want him back. If Phillip Rivers wants to return, we want him back as our starting quarterback. The Colts missed out on the AFC South title, but finished with 11 wins. He is eighth all-time among starting quarterbacks when it comes to victories in the NFL. Now, I'm not a huge fan of QB wins as a stat. I don't think that's fair. I think it's an inaccurate depiction of a quarterback, but also an inaccurate depiction of the teams he played on. But it is a stat. He's eighth all-time with 134 wins as a starting QB. Do you know that's second only among QBs who never won a Super Bowl? Because, of course, he never played in one. The AFC Championship was the farthest he got, and he did that once 13 years ago. But he does finish his illustrious career fifth all-time in both passing yards and touchdowns. And it's easy to guess the names that are ahead of him. Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Tom Brady. Rivers has just passed Dan Marino in the last couple of weeks. Aaron Rodgers will likely catch him. Rodgers is only 9 TDs behind Rivers. So Rivers won't finish up his, well, actually won't get into the Hall of Fame before he falls out of the top five. Ben Roethlisberger could catch him too, but it's not a sure thing. Matt Ryan may catch him, though Ryan is roughly 60 back. So that's a long shot as well. So that's career touchdown passes. Same four guys ahead of Phillip Rivers. When it comes to career passing yards, only Drew Brees is over 80,000, but Tom Brady's knocking on the door. Peyton Manning, Brett Favre, both over 71,000. Rivers at 63,440 passing yards, fifth all time. Is he a Hall of Famer in your opinion? He is in mine, without a doubt. I am a little surprised, though, that he retired because it didn't look like he couldn't play anymore. It looked like he was still keeping up with the game. It looked like he could still navigate the game and that he had a new passion and excitement for playing with the Indianapolis Colts, but he decides he's done after 1 year. And I think Brett Favre's reaction was similar.
I was a little bit surprised. Had a great year with a new team. I thought maybe that would kind of reignite. You know, I'm not saying that he has lost the passion because I don't know, but you know, other things obviously have become more important. But I thought he played exceptionally well and certainly helped the Colts get to where they were. And so in that regard, I was a little bit surprised. But I understand.
I love who Phillip Rivers is. I love what he represents. I love him as a family man. I couldn't sit down and talk with him enough because I just loved his passion for life and passion for our game. And he's going to be missed. You know, I mean, we see a number of these quarterbacks getting to the end, and guys that, that I've watched for years, guys that I competed against, guys that really set the tone for what the NFL is and what the quarterback position is all about. And Phillip did that as well as anybody. I hate to see him leave as a fan of the quarterback position. But at the same time, what I always knew about Phillip was that this wasn't everything to him. You know, he's got an unbelievable family. He's got a passion for this game and to impact people. And I always knew that, stepping away, as hard as it would be, he would be excited about the next chapter. And so I'm excited about the next chapter for him because I think he's going to go on and have tremendous impact in what he does. I know we all believe it's going to be coaching to a big degree, but he's going to have tremendous impact on the next generation and quarterbacks playing this game for years and years to come. And so I'm excited to see what's next for him, although he will be missed because we all appreciated the way that he played the game.
A pair of Hall of Famers weighing in on Phillip Rivers. Kurt Warner there on the NFL Network. Before that, Brett Favre on Sirius XM NFL Radio. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. 855-212-4227. Reginald is in South Carolina. What do you think?
How you doing, Amy? I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Yes, just sitting here with my popcorn ready, enjoying the show. Ford's a Hall of Famer in my book, and Phillip Rivers, I'm sure he'll get in. I was just sitting around with some friends the other day, and we were just talking quarterbacks, and they were telling me some of their, names of quarterbacks, and you name a few, and Manning, Drew Brees, but he hadn't retired yet. But like I was telling them, Aaron Rodgers for his touchdowns, 400 and something. And then they couldn't believe it when I told them that as long as he's been in the NFL and four is his interception, he's only thrown like 89. And here it is. He got plenty more left in him. And, you have to, for as a Hall of Famer on the field and off the field, to me, that's what a Hall of Famer is.
Is what? Is about the numbers or about the ability to maintain the high level? Which one?
Yeah, the high level, like you were saying, you don't count the wins because, if you look at some of the guys who, for his wins, Roethlisberger, like you were saying, Peyton Manning, some of those guys for a Super Bowl, which Aaron Rodgers have a Super Bowl, but mm-hmm. Just to be, as long as he have been in the NFL, and just to have an interception rate at 89, not even 100 yet, and then when some of those guys, they name, and then I told them to look it up for the touchdowns and the interception rate, and some of them have thrown for 400, 300, and then the interceptions about half of the touchdowns they have thrown, But, remember talking to you and we were talking about, I mentioned about contenders and pretenders. And I think, when last week they were talking about Drew Brees and Brady, but this week coming up with Green Bay and Tom Brady, I think that's going to be one heck of a game. Both of those guys are great quarterbacks. I think Brady older than Aaron Rodgers?
Mm-hmm. Aaron's not 40 yet. He just turned 37.
Yeah. And I didn't want to tip my hat to him or my hand to him, but I think, Aaron Rodgers, and I hadn't always been an Aaron Rodgers fan, but, I mean, he's one smart quarterback. I mean, even though Tampa Bay – beginning of the year, they started out rough, but this is the best time to peak. I think they have came together. And but I do know that Aaron Rodgers, he don't throw a lot of interceptions. He don't make too many mistakes. And it's going to be interesting.
Agreed. I agree with that. The NFC Championship should be fun. Let's not count out the defenses. In the game that they played in week 6, the defense played a major role for Tampa, and Rodgers had a couple interceptions. May have been his first of the year in that game, because at that point, the Packers were still undefeated when they went to Tampa. Thanks so much for your phone call, Reginald. Good to talk to you. Aaron Rodgers is a Hall of Famer in every way that you can possibly define it. A lot of you weighing in on Twitter about Phillip Rivers and about whether or not you think he is a Hall of Famer. Steve says you have to win Super Bowls. You have to go to them. Then the playoff appearances and stats can be accounted for. Okay, so that's how he defines Hall of Famer. But not everybody puts that same stipulation on Hall of Famers. Dale says you have to be transcendent. He says Phillip Rivers was a really good NFL quarterback, but not transcendent. Jeremy says, a Hall of Famer in my book is someone who is top two or three at their respected position for 10-plus years straight, left it all out on the field, the court, the ice, yada, yada, and gave back to the city-state they played the majority of their careers in. Well, a Hall of Famer can't determine or have any control over who's playing at the same time that he is. So that's interesting that you compare to their peers in their current era. I say you compare to the best of the best of all time, and Phillip Rivers definitely compares. Another post on Facebook, incredible career. His teams were competitive year after year. Alexandra, the ultimate competitor, gunslinger, loved watching him play.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.